Hey, Dave. Got a minute?
Yeah, sure, Mike. What's up?
So it's about the March promotion coming up. Me and the rest of the crew want to talk about who is doing the voiceover for the opening intros and stuff.
No problem. I'm pretty stoked myself. Penguins and other bird-related movies. I'm excited, you know. It should be a nice transition from whales and the whole nature thing.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we don't have a problem with the theme itself, Dave. It's not really what I want to talk to you about. We want to talk about, how do I put this? Your really bad David Attenborough impression.
My impression? What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, Dave. Don't act surprised. Everyone's been talking about how bad your David Attenborough impression is. It's time you face reality and realize that you suck at impressions.
What? I'm not doing an impression, I swear. I hired a voice actor.
Yeah, right, Dave. You somehow managed to get David Attenborough to do the voiceover for Feb Whale Airy. What kind of a fool do you take me for?
All right, okay. You got me. I didn't actually hire David Attenborough to do the voiceover for Feb Whale Airy.
Thank you. Finally, some honesty from you.
I hired David Attenborough Jr.
You... what?
Yeah, David Attenborough Jr., the eminent voice actor from Bartertown. He claims to be a descendant to the real David Attenborough Sr. I mean, look, I'm not saying he's the greatest voice actor there's ever been, but...
All right, Dave, that's enough. This is embarrassing, even for you. Will you just fess up and admit?
I'm sorry. Please excuse my tardiness. I'm here to record my lines for the March film promotion. Presume the commissary is fully stacked. I missed breakfast this morning.
Oh, yeah, no problem, Mr. Attenborough. If you just make your way towards the break room, I've put out some danishes. There's also some Mountain Dew-infused orange juice for your enjoyment. I'm really glad we're able to get you back for the March promotion.
Splendid. Well, cheerio. I'll see you in the recording booth then.
Yep. Right that way. Thank you, sir. I'll join you shortly. There, you see? What did I tell you? The real David Attenborough Jr.
Yeah. You weren't kidding.
But you know, I want to hear your guys' concerns. After all, I value your feedback and welcome suggestions. I mean, if you guys prefer not to have Mr. Attenborough back for the March promotion, then we can talk alternatives and... Actually, you mentioned impressions. I happen to do a pretty good Morgan Freeman.
No, Dave. That's fine. That is just fine. David Attenborough Jr. will do just fine.
Hello, and welcome to another month of Apocalypse Video's look at the wondrous world of nature. For the month of March, we leave behind the ocean waters and take to the skies to observe the many species that inhabit the world above our heads. This is March of the Penguins and other bird-related films. All month long, we'll be discussing everything from penguins... to extravagant plumage in Miami.
Look at me. I'm this short, fat, insecure, middle-aged thing.
I made you short?
Bizarre worlds filled with talking herons.
Hold on. Not my number 7 flight feather. Darn it. That's cheating, you know. Stop laughing.
To the madcap zaniness of ducks.
You know, you haven't stopped talking since I came here. You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
No feather will be left unturned. On this first installment, we'll join the Emperor Penguins of Antarctica on their long march to their breeding grounds, where we will witness firsthand the arduous journey that they undergo every year. A journey across many miles, wrought with danger, but fueled by the love of a mother and father. This is March of the Penguins.
There is a mysterious ritual that dates back thousands of years. No living creature has survived it, except the penguin. They have wings, but cannot fly. They're birds that think they're fish. And every year, they embark on a nearly impossible journey to find a mate. For 20 days and 20 nights, the Emperor Penguin will march to a place so extreme, it supports no other life. In the harshest place on earth, love finds a way. This is the incredible true story of a family's journey to bring life into the world. Of the Penguins.
All right, March of the Penguins, guys. Wow, I just gotta say, I'm glad that, I mean, I know we get snow here from time to time, but at least we're not in Antarctica. It looks like nature sucks. It's very cruel out there, and it's a hard life for a penguin.
For the record, I love David Attenborough Jr.'s work.
Oh, how the hell have you said that?
I think he's a gem.
I'm your host, Dave. Not David Attenborough, David Snyder. I'm joined again by my fellow Emperor Penguins, Michael.
Lost and alone, Dave is unlikely to survive the cold.
So cool.
Speaking of impressions, that's not too bad, Mike. I'm also joined by Mr. Ryan Caldwell.
You hit sonic wave levels of penguin noises just then.
Ryan, just come here under my blabber. I'll keep you warm between my feet, okay? And finally, Jackie.
That was when the one penguin fell and the group of penguins all went wah.
Yeah, I remember that. I got that.
Importantly, the penguin that fell and got up goes
speaking of transition, so we go from to
I do hate to break FOMO a little bit with you guys, but if you look at the credits, there's voice of penguins
and
voice actors.
I suppose it would be difficult to mic up the penguin.
I'm saying it's a movie.
It is a movie.
Oh my God.
Well, that said, it's really funny. It's a funny movie.
Look at the IMDb.
And also a very, you know, the heartstrings are pulled. I am manipulated by the constraints,
Ryan,
of the form.
You
it works.
Son of a bitch. Are you going to show up to like Vegas and be like, hey guys, this is how the magic trick is done?
Sorry.
I don't want to know it's a voice actor. I could have died knowing that was a penguin.
Hey, Mike, they're French.
French. Are you going to tell me that there were some French actors in penguin suits or something?
If they wore penguin suits to do the VO, I'm back around.
It's like, because how would they be miking up those penguins?
They could put a boom mic there far away. I don't know.
With the winds whipping 100 miles per hour. It's okay. It's a movie. That's fine. I mean, it works on me.
I'm sorry. When I saw that, I was shocked a little bit too.
Well, I feel like I've watched like BBC documentaries, and there'll be times where I'm like, okay, they manufactured these, like,
yeah,
sure,
like they put these in.
I think maybe to this movie's credit, when you watch like BBC Planet Earth or whatever, I mean, it's a phenomenal documentary, but I think there's times there where it's like there's sound effects of sometimes,
sure,
like the,
yeah,
leaves or like the paws rustling in the sand or something, and it's like obviously that is not in there, but this, yeah, one didn't. It did feel like it wasn't as obvious, like it could have been the penguin sounds.
Well,
maybe.
It's so basic. Well, the sound design in this movie is I guess you could argue it's kind of basic, because really, I mean, it's a lot of
a lot of wind, a lot of crunching.
We watched this on our nice sound system in the store, and it was awesome. Like the sound design, we were like, wow, the sound design on this movie is really good.
It's bad. It is just simple.
No, but like effective, and it feels like you're in this blizzard, huddling for warmth with your hundreds of homies, trying to keep the eggs alive.
I've never been more scared of a storm than here.
Had you never seen this before?
No, this is my first time.
Really?
I've heard about this movie. You know, it's interesting.
We put it on as a phenomenon in the four times. I feel like I always had it on the TVs.
Yeah,
this was a huge documentary. We should say this came out in 2005. This would have been, I think, a year or so before the first Planet Earth documentary, which kind of like really set off. Like, I feel like that first Planet Earth was kind of like, you know, a monumental documentary in terms of like documentary filming methods for nature.
I think
and I think with Planet Earth, part of the thing too is it came out, at least in America, it was released around the same time that HDTVs were coming out. And I feel like
that too.
That was,
yes,
the thing is like, oh, you got to get, yeah, your HDTV and get Planet Earth in 1080p or whatever.
And then get, yeah, really stoned and,
yeah,
look,
well,
at
that's
nature.
What I was
going
to say. This movie, I realized I was having flashbacks to. This was definitely in a stoner house or two. This was playing.
Oh.
The March of the Penguins?
That,
yeah,
seems like
the March of
too
the Penguins
harrowing.
I wouldn't describe this as like stoner material.
No, I think it is. I think it is. This is the type of shit that you want to watch, I think.
It's too harrowing.
What? It made me.
What
I know.
Kind of shit are you watching while you're stoned, Brian?
You want to feel it. You want to get. It's like a ride. It ends up being like, you know, the,
oh,
Space,
right,
Mountain or,
wow,
something.
This is the,
you
most,
know,
depressing movie I've seen in some time.
It is not the most depressing movie.
I did cry.
It is not.
Why did what? How did this come about? I missed the conversation. I didn't hear what you guys were talking about with the clipboards in the front of the store. Like, how did the March of the Penguins, like, this is not a...
Why are we doing this?
Is there another podcast that's covered this movie, as I'm saying?
I would argue that it kind of dubbed... It just kind of, like, I feel like this was kind of emerging. I always felt, maybe I was the minority, but I felt like... I understand March of the Penguins. I understand the wordplay with the film promotion, but it's like, okay, then... The other movies we do this month would be penguin movies, right? Happy Feet, Batman Returns, maybe, you know, penguin movies. But no, it kind of merged with other bird movies, I suppose, because technically the penguin is a bird, a flightless bird, granted, but it's a bird nonetheless.
It is a bird, yes.
No, I think it's a French man in a suit is what it is.
Well, because also...
Yeah, Michael, did you know there were no penguins in this movie? It was all little French people in suits?
But anyway, just to address that up front, because I think Mr. Attenborough eloquently put it in the beginning, it's March of the Penguins and other bird-related films.
Mm-hmm.
Not related to penguins, but other bird,
yeah,
movies.
Well,
or bird adjacent.
Well, since we're not doing Happy Feet, can we talk about Happy Feet in this one a little bit?
You can talk about Happy Feet for under 5 minutes.
Well, doesn't Happy Feet exist because of like the penguin mania that we were all under?
It was
the
whole thing because it came out a year later.
Yeah.
Ryan, the floor is yours. Please talk about
Happy
Feet.
Well, okay. So we'll go all the way back that Mr. George Miller was trying to make another Mad Max movie, and then 9/11 happened. There was also a crazy desert, like plants grew in the desert he wanted to. So there's about a 10-year period where he couldn't make this movie. So he got into animating stuff, and he made this movie, Happy Feet,
Which he made Marshall used, the Penguins, actually.
Yeah, which, you know, stars Elijah Wood and, mm-hmm. and you know, Robin Williams do a questionable accent.
Sure.
But it's, they did it with, I think it was motion capture, and like, and it's like,
oh, really?
It's supposed to also be photo
realistic. Oh yeah, a lot
realistic.
Of the dancing, yeah, it was.
Like photo real, it's really weird because it's animated, but they're not like cartoony looking. They're like actual, mm-hmm. like there's looking realistic animals, I would say.
It's like realistic enough looking penguins, but also with the like animated movie, like weird like sexual dimorphism where the girl penguins like look curvy.
I was looking for that in March of the Penguins also.
Oh, you were looking for the curvy girl penguins? You're like, so where are the titties at?
I was like, what's the difference on these really slow moving close-ups of like
I imagine an early 20s Ryan Stone watching this, like just like blurrily
saying, where are
the titties at?
Well, How are they supposed to tell who's the girls?
Well, no, I think you can start to after a while. You get a long time with these women and the men, you know. But anyway, Happy Feet's kind of a funny thing because I mean, what we'll learn in this movie is about the, you know, they all have their own song they sing to find each other, and that's what Happy Feet's about. But what if you can't sing? What if you're a bad singer? You gotta dance, baby. You gotta dance.
That, you know, that's fascinating. That's a fun idea for the movie because whenever I watch these documentaries, these nature documentaries, especially ones like this that deal with a group of animals, my eyes always drawn to like the one outcast that's outside group or the stragglers, the ones outside. And I'm always kind of thinking in my mind, what's their story? And we kind of get that with this movie. Like,
the answer is they die.
This movie is depressing as fuck.
Well, what happens in Happy Feet is that they learn the dance and they come back, and that's what happens.
What happens in Happy Feet is like sort of analogous. It's like sort of a queer storyline. Yeah,
how many penguins die in Happy Feet?
Well, can I spoil something that happens in Happy Feet that's crazy?
We're still on Happy Feet.
I'm sorry. I want to talk about March of the Penguins.
No, get us.
I just got to get this out because I was thinking about when I was watching this movie. I'm sorry if I'm seen Happy Feet, but the movie ends up
20 years
turning into live action. Like, they basically, like,
that's right.
Huh? He finds like a zoo, and he thinks he's found his family, and he's in a zoo, and there's live action people there, and it's crazy.
Like,
it's giving me the chills thinking about it.
I am watching this movie as soon as this podcast is done recording.
It's a weird one.
George Miller. Be a complete, you know, he directed it. So
did he direct Happy Feet 2 as well? I believe
he did too as well, because he still couldn't get the damn Fury Road made.
And then is
Happy Feet 2 on the real world or
they leave that real world again? But there's scene where I was like, oh my god, they're doing this anyway.
It goes places.
Sounds like a movie you watch while stoned.
Yeah, it does.
Honestly, yeah. Because in that one, too, you get to see little baby penguins say, don't push me because I'm
think
close
I saw the
to
second
the
one.
Edge.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, so, Mike, you've been patiently waiting here. I know this movie opens with Morgan Freeman telling me that this is a story of love, but why don't you tell me why this story is not depressing?
Because it's a story of love. It's like a story of like triumphing over the odds, you know?
I think also it's
some triumphing.
Most
over
of
the
them
odds.
Do.
It's a neutral story because nature is neutral, you know? It's like there's life and death.
I think at the end of the day, this is a story about like doing something that is very difficult but worth doing, you know? And there's failures along the way, but there are deaths along the way, but despite it all, they keep trying and they keep doing it because this movie is like, it's everything, you know. This is like every story, you know. It's the human condition. It's the penguin condition.
Well, I guess I was kind of coming at it from. So I'm exaggerating here. I have not seen this movie before, but I was aware of this.
That's crazy that you haven't seen this before. I feel like this is. Ryan and I, we've talked about seeing it. Jackie, have you seen this before?
Yeah, I remember like going on a school field trip to the movies could see it because it was like
this was a big movie.
It was seen as like educational too.
I think this is one of those that's like if you didn't see this, you would have had to like intentionally avoid it or something.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't intentionally avoid it. I think what happened was I feel like Planet Earth or one of the Planet Earth documentaries covered this story.
You're like, I know about penguins.
So I basically saw this in another form. So it wasn't that I was like trying to ignore March of the Penguins. I was certainly aware of it at the time. This won a best an Oscar for best documentary. It made a shitload of money. It had a budget of $8 million. It grossed like almost $130 million. That's just crazy for a documentary like this. I saw
a trivia fact that it outgrossed all of the Best Picture nominees that year, like, wow, including like Brokeback Mountain and stuff.
That's not surprising. It is surprising. I mean, and also just considering one thought I had watching this was, again, we mentioned Planet Earth and like the remarkable breakthroughs in filmmaking with that. We should point out March of the Penguins. This is shot on film in negative 40 degree blizzard like conditions or whatever. Yeah. And I was just like in the end of the movie, we see little clips of like the guys walking with the cameras and stuff. I'm like, and there's a brief second where I was like, that's a fucking film camera.
Yeah, it's that basically that the end credits insane. Is basically like, look how much of a pain in the ass this was to make.
Yeah, and it took a whole year to film.
Yeah, there was a shot where I was just like, they didn't have drones, and so they couldn't get a crane out there. How'd they do that? And you see in the little end, they show that they got it on a balloon, the camera.
A balloon! Oh, crazy. Man.
And so I was kind of like, because I was sitting there, I'm like, how did they get that freaking tracking shot?
I do want to say, too, I wanted to get this out of the way, because I love the French and everything. It's a French movie, and I didn't realize this, but... do you guys know, like, I kind of want to see the original version. Like, so you know that, like, the original version of this, it didn't have Morgan Freeman. And, you know, it had French narration, obviously. But they did the narration as first person from the point of view of two penguins who are coupling
up. Well, maybe
up.
That's the voices that I'm seeing in the credits.
Interesting. Oh, okay. I mean, they...
Honestly, yeah, I wonder if that is, and you know, I wouldn't
be
surprised.
That must be it. Maybe it is real penguin voices.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe if there's some messing around where they're just getting penguin sound effects and putting them over what's going on.
But because it says that the Romaine Boehringer, she's Le Mère.
Yes, that is that. Yeah, those are the narration.
Le Mère and
you son of a bitch. Yeah, that is the narrate. Those are the narrators. So it's narrated from like a woman and a man penguin.
That
and
sounds fucking French.
And then they throw in a little kid actor for the one of
Le
the bébé. Chicks.
Le bébé.
For the bébé.
Oh, stop it. That's so French, but I'm still emotionally stirred by it.
I want to see that. Oh my God. I can imagine certain scenes being absolutely devastating.
Oh, my God.
Papa, my friend died today.
I already cried watching it. I don't need that. Yeah, first person be like, well, I hope I survive Le Winter.
Hold on, maybe it was the type of wacky narration you would see in America's Funniest Home Videos. Maybe the narration was something more akin
Dave.
To that.
Well, then
we don't know.
But you think I'm seeing there's a lot of slide whistles.
Yeah, much more slide whistle action, especially when showing eggs that did not make it.
there was a lot of cut footage that we didn't see of penguins getting kicked in the nards. You know,
there's a bunch of tuba players credited.
I think the thing is like this movie has a lot of stretches of like just silence and music and stuff.
Yeah, that
I'm wondering, like, does the French one suck? Like, because that sounds like if they had, like, instead of like this beauty, just really, it's probably five minutes long.
I wouldn't be surprised if the French one has that too.
Well, true. I'm just saying, like, there's like a moment in the movie where it's like 5 minutes of just watching these like two penguins kind of like hold each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just music.
Trying not to die.
Close ups. But I'm just saying, there's like the two that end up, you know, we're not following two.
The main characters or whatever.
And it's like this sort of like these. The love, and I'm wondering, like, if the whole time it's gonna be like, oh, it's a compétent, c'est que l'œuvre. Like, I don't know, just like, like, when it's like this,
je t'aime,
yeah, je m'aime, c'est fou. I don't know, just something.
I
have confidence the tone is not dramatically changed by the fact that, I mean, maybe, but I gotta see it now.
I guess so. We gotta.
Well, I guess I'm kind of two minds. I guess I understand why this kind of hit, because again, this is like a remarkable feat that these people were able to achieve, seeing this journey that these penguins take for a year in the harshest of climates on the planet, with filmed cameras, which is crazy. But I guess I was kind of wondering, like, because this was such a massive hit, like, watching it, it's very well made. Morgan Freeman, obviously, doing voiceover is going to do a tremendous job. But the material, it can get so dark at times, literally, like, where it's just like, as Ryan said, like, most of this movie is just like these penguins go into this big area the males stay with the eggs. The females go out to get food and to bring back. And again, they have to repeat that trip.
The titular march is, what is it, like 70 miles like to the water to go or something like that. And they
and that gets extended because the ice comes up and you have to walk further
as the winter goes on. And
yeah, most of this movie is just the males back in this big area trying to hold the eggs like and not drop them and kill their babies. It's very dark material, but as you said, it is kind of like the story of life and life's trials and tribulations and whatnot. But I guess I was just like, is it because there had never been anything like this before? Because I guess I was just thinking, like, because this was so successful and it is such a dark kind of story, like
I don't think it's that dark.
In some ways I am and am not surprised that this was
to each their own, but I don't think it's like a dark story the way you're saying it. Like, I think it has moments of that, but I think it's mostly like it's beautiful.
I guess I was just surprised by how much of the movie is just like we're trying not to freeze to death.
Well, it's high highs and low lows. I think it's a documentary, and so we're seeing these, you know, real life non-fictional events, but it is also there's a narrative that we as humans that made the film and are watching the film like appreciate and are not manipulated by, like, that's the point of art is like, does this make you feel something, but we're emotionally involved with, like, oh my god, are they gonna survive? Like, I shed tears like at more than one point in watching this documentary, because it's like, oh my god, they're dead. And it's just like, I got really
emotional for the people who didn't make the journey. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like there were times when the eggs fall and they break, and then you got like a mother penguin trying to steal another egg from someone else. Like, I need a baby. You know what I mean?
I think though too, like, something to keep in mind is like, it's freezing cold and it looks like it sucks, and it probably isn't. It probably does suck for them, but also like they're literally built for this.
Yeah, they did evolve for this environment.
It is they're experiencing this cold in a different way than you and I would.
Yeah, and
also, you know what? Something occurred to me. As I mentioned, I had never seen this movie, and I've seen Planet Earth, most of the David Attenborough narrated BBC Earth documentaries. And one thing I'm seeing truncated versions of stories. This is all on the
saga.
I'm getting like the montage version of these stories. So I'm getting the very edited version, so to speak. Like, I think maybe that's why I was kind of not brushing up against it. I liked this documentary. I thought it was great, but maybe it's just I rarely see documentaries that focus on just this like one subject. I'm used to seeing like a collage of different stories and stuff like that.
Seeing
this unfold over the course of like about an hour and a half, like, it's a different experience.
I think it is kind of like very French. Like, it is kind of like slow and I don't mean this like sexual, but it's like sensuous. Like, they really luxuriate on the like, kind just, of beauty of the penguins, like the physical beauty of them.
And two penguins just like curving their heads together. And like the beauty
that
of
really
that,
big zooms are some of my favorite parts of the movie, and something that I think is like really unique about it. Right. Like, it's the kind of thing that maybe this isn't fair, but it's the kind of thing I wouldn't necessarily expect in the Chris Pratt narrated Go Visit Disney Adventure or whatever version that we might get more recently. But, you know, just those kind of, like you were saying, Ryan, those kind of like, there's no talking and it's just like music, and you're seeing like the, just these extreme close-ups of looking at like their fur and stuff like that. And
feathers.
It's like, sure. I know it's technically feathers, but
zooming in on like the texture of these incredibly strange little creatures that, like, you're a bird, but you can't fly, and the narration? It's like,
the
they
narration
think they're
is
a
like,
fish.
They will take this long journey, and although they are birds, they will not fly, and although they spend their lives in the sea, they will not swim.
Fish. And it's
although I gotta say, those suckers can move on their bellies, man.
Oh my god, every time they go belly mode, it's so funny.
I was like, I don't think this is the case, but I was imagining, so when they first, the first part of this movie is they show up.
First
so they
march.
All they all show up from the ocean to find basically
dry, thick ice that they can
area.
You know, rest up, and there's this is going to be their base.
There's a crazy panning shot where you just see this long single file line of penguins that seems to go on forever.
And the ones, so some of them start like they're mostly waddling, but some of them are like on their belly, like they're like sleds. And I don't think this is the case, but I was like, in my head canon, my fan theory for why the penguins are doing this is
my
These were the penguins who were like, while they were swimming and you know, going about their lives,
bulking
were the
up most, on fish.
Yeah, they were the most successful at bulking up on fish. So they had the biggest bellies. So like, in my mind, it was like a show off move. Like, hey, you guys have to walk. I had so much fish.
I'm just going to go on my belly like the whole time. Like,
sucks to suck.
That's another thing I got to hand it to these penguins. Like, because there are shots where you see them on their belly, but then you see it, you quickly see them get up and start waddling. Like, whoo. Like that.
And they like use their beaks to do it. They're such interesting animals. And it's one of those things where it's like watching this, I was brought back to being like, you know, like 6 years old or something, getting like a penguin t-shirt at the aquarium because I loved the penguin like areas so much. And it's just like, they're so, you know, they got the perfect color scheme, all these interesting lines. The babies are so cute. Oh, 10 out of 10.
You just touched on something. So when we did February, we kind of revealed that Ryan was a big SeaWorld fan growing up. So we know your thoughts on whales and especially dolphins, Ryan. Where did penguins stack on your SeaWorld list of critters and whatnot?
I
don't know why I said critters.
No, I like penguins a lot. I mean, I remember seeing this, but it's one of those movies I didn't see like young. I guess I was already like, you know, 20 or something. But
I mean, I wasn't that young when this movie came out, but I loved penguins from a young age.
Yeah, I don't know. Fine. Penguins are great. Yeah. I never really had like this affection for like I did the whales and stuff, but I like penguins. Mm. Yeah.
You're a whale guy.
But whales eat penguins, so I'm sorry. You know,
you're getting hungry watching this one.
Be honest, I did. This movie is one you get hungry watching. You know,
because they're going months and months without food.
Yeah, it's like I kept thinking about that too. I was watching it, and I'm just like, oh my god,
this would be good to a good pairing. Just have some like sardines and like a ice cold like martini. Or
no,
something.
I'm gonna have a full sushi platter like sashimi in front of me and just be like, fish.
Yeah, it makes you hungry, and I think it did. And I mean, yeah, this movie's about eating and fucking, and that's about, you know.
That's all animals, it is to baby. Life. Yeah,
that's all there is, you know.
So. There's not really a whole lot of sex in this movie. It's more about like eating, and I feel like this job it kind of reminds
creating
me about like,
making love. I guess
making love exactly.
I think the job, or I think the movie is sort of about like surviving and like. I mean, there's
and
a lot
you,
of like.
How do you do that? You fuck and eat, you know.
Ryan kept saying that during the movie, during the screening.
Put it on the poster.
This movie's about eating and fucking, Ryan Caldwell.
The key to survival is fucking and eating.
Yeah, exactly. God.
That's goddamn right.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good episode, guys.
I mean, is there anything else to say aside from that? Fucking and eating?
Yeah,
this
I mean.
This might be our shortest episode sometime.
I would say, okay, so. I'm kind of looking like off-brand research of just like, so why is this kind of hit? And I think it was probably there. You know, there was a point people went to the movies to watch things like this. You know, because and then eventually it was on TV on Discovery Channel for a long time.
This is like right before Planet Earth kind of like stole that spotlight.
I think
like,
so
because, like you said, you would go to like IMAX to see nature documentaries. Yeah. I remember that was a big thing.
This you can tell this movie was a phenomenon because they made. I saw this, and I'm curious if anyone has played it. I did not. They made a video game.
Oh my god!
For Game Boy, right?
Yeah, Game Boy.
What do you
Advance
play
and
as
Game
a penguin
DS.
Who has to stand still in? On the ice for
a
month.
That'd be so. You could make like a weird indie game. I don't think this is what that game is, but yeah, imagining like egg balancing.
Yeah,
like,
weird.
Your egg died.
Is it like a?
Is it like a Tamagotchi? Yeah, no, type like, game would or something? Be a
funny no thing, it looks yeah. like lemmings or something. Like kind
of. You know, oh sure, weird. Sure.
That's, anyway, just, but no,
just,
you're
just trading on the straight line, walking in a straight line aspect of it.
Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS. That's so weird.
That's so weird. Yeah, wow. That is so extremely time and place.
I think that's
chapter
just
one,
like,
Journeying to the Breeding Grounds. I'm trying to find like a.
I think that's belly just like, mode. Slide.
I think it's just like if your movie makes a certain amount of money, you
you're
get a video game.
Mr. Miyamoto, the kid's got to learn about fucking someday.
What you guys are saying, it's true of like this is just before you could get an HD TV and watch the Planet Earth at home, and just drone footage or the ability to like get that became a lot more accessible. Oh my God!
Gameplay footage.
Oh.
And yes, it's basically there's a line of penguins marching, and you have to build
get rid of stuff
this is
to like
just
like,
so they
walk.
Can
you
march.
Get rid of obstacles. You have to build ramps for them to walk up on.
This looks like a video game I played on like Newgrounds.com.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, so you melted the ice. You say with a fireball melt.
Yeah, very intuitive.
This is the big video game all over again. Throw thermal pie.
Simpsons bit about the putt putt?
Oh yeah, is like Henry blah blah's putt putt challenge.
that's what that was. You can play putt putt with the.
It's
with
like
the
I got you a new video game you wanted.
Yeah, 2005. This would have been the year of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Like, don't worry, honey, I didn't get you Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, but I did get you March of the Penguins.
Or in Ryan's case, it's like, did you get me Echo the Dolphin on Game Boy Advance?
No.
No, we got you March of the
Penguins. No, we got you Lee Carvalho's March of the Penguins, you know?
Lee Carvalho's March of the Penguins.
Yeah, that's tough.
Incredible stuff.
I never actually had Echo the Dolphin. I'm surprised I didn't. I didn't have Sega.
Well, Echo the Dolphin, the Dolphin was a Sega franchise, and I was a big fan of Echo the Dolphin. It's awesome and does have some amazing music. You know, check out the music for
Echo
the
music's
Dolphin.
Good in this, too, and stuff. And how about this?
It's very stirring.
You know, for the man on the panel, could you sit on that egg for a good,
I was so anxious watching them try to delicately balance this egg, like the transfer scene.
Again, the Foley work, like the sound effects, it's harrowing.
Oh,
it's
yeah, the
like,
scratching sounds of the egg. So yeah, so we should set this up. So they come on, the movie starts where
tell
they
us
all
about
like,
the march.
Yeah, they all show up to Antarctica and they're like, all right, time to have a kid. So they
show up to Antarctica.
They all like meet in the same place, which is crazy that they all find the same place together.
Yeah.
And you got to find a mate, a new mate for the year.
Yeah. And they all like, all right,
they
let's
take out a contract. It, everybody.
So they, yeah. So they basically have like a, they're like at a bar and they're just like, all right, who's going to pair off? And
anybody?
I love Morgan Freeman here. He's like, penguins are monogamous. Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just funny. I had my, I feel like, I've seen this movie before, so I must have knew this at one point, but I forgot. I've always heard the saying, like, penguins are monogamous, but that's really not the case. They're monogamous
for a season.
Season.
Yeah.
So every year they're with someone else.
Emperor penguins are monogamous, sort of. They mate with only one partner per year, which means every new season, all bets are off.
But it is also, again, the human response to, like, the iconography of just this thing that animals do of, like, two penguins, like, bowed together. It looks very romantic. And you're like, oh, monogamy. Ooh. Oh, they mate for life. Yeah. Or what you can sell that. You can certainly sell that.
Yeah. So they pair off and you have sex and then... Eventually, and they're all just like staying in the same like huddle, basically. And eventually, the woman has an egg, and then basically what happens is like because they've been doing this for so long, and by this point the woman is like exhausted. She has to go eat like immediately. And then she's also, when she goes to eat, she has to leave. She has to basically do the march again.
They say that she loses a third of her body weight producing
the
egg.
And she doesn't have to eat for herself. She also has to bring back food for the baby. So, so to facilitate this, they have to have someone has to look over the egg. So they give the egg to the man. And so there's this whole, like, basically
the egg can't just be exposed to the elements because they're in the middle of Antarctica. So it has to constantly or near constantly be enveloped in their tuft. So there's this, as they put it, like a delicate ballet. There's the whole sequence of just literally handing over the egg. So the female penguin has to hand over the egg to the male penguin. And it's
balanced on their claws.
Yeah, and they can't, and they have to do it really quickly because it can't be exposed to the elements. So it's harrowing. It's you know, it's a quick little transfer for these.
And just the shot of like the one penguin that drops it, and it's just looking down.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just like, well, fuck me.
Like I
yeah,
I know
so,
it's
so we see
it's
not
us
all
anthropomorphizing these non-human creatures, but you feel so sad. You're like, they oh my god.
One of the best like shots is we see like one of the eggs crack, and then you just see the
bleu. That's what it said when it dropped
the
egg.
Yeah. One is, but no, you see the egg
that,
freeze
I'm
over.
I'm sure that's
like,
what the French version is like, Ryan. Oh, sacre bleu!
While the egg is freezing over in a matter of
seconds, make a penguin without breaking a few eggs.
Jesus,
what I would give for a baguette.
So disrespectful to those penguins that lost
Looks
their
like
lives.
This penguin's gonna be scrambled.
Or hard boiled.
Anyway, Mike, the women.
The women.
The women.
So, what happens to the women next?
Well, the women are off. So, they're like.
They gotta do the march again.
Yeah, they do the march in reverse, except it's longer this time because it's colder. So, there's more ice shelf to get to the coast. But they basically just go and, like.
Party?
No, yeah, they go and eat. They go and eat. Yeah.
But then you're in danger of maybe a seal will come and eat you.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
I think
life
I'd rather...
They kind of brush over that a little bit. They don't really get too into like the sea lions or the seals like picking off
I mean, that's life.
Penguins.
It's, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to be there. I feel
like I got to imagine like in the French version, like, you know, the females come back and the males are just like, what the fuck took you so long? It's like, and I got to imagine the women like coming back, like I had to fight off sea lion after sea lion. Look at these scars.
In your version, it's just like a tumultuous relationship. Like they're just like bitching at
Full
each other.
Full of resentment.
Left and right. You son of a bitch. You could barely get the egg. Our kid's gonna be dumb now when he's born because there was so much cold exposed.
They're both smoking cigarettes, obviously, because they're French.
Yeah. Did you bring back the Gauloises?
It's kind of
just interesting. Like your mother.
Up in on the Oregon coast, there's like those sea lions in the summer that all kind of like. Like all stack
on
each other.
Those.
Yeah, and I was reading like they have a whole thing that like the females stay back, the women they stay back at the in the kind of like Southern California area where they're giving like birth and stuff, while like the men are getting fat and just like chilling in like the like the
song.
Yeah, and it's all men, and they're all just like orging on each other, basically
letting
for,
your
like,
wife give birth alone
for like six
while
months
you...
or something while they get fat, and then you come
and
back
you just
and
hear them.
Yeah, and then they eventually go
that
back
feels
down
like
there.
The like shithead version of this movie, like
a little bit. Yeah.
So the females are gonna relax in like Southern California and give birth, and then the dudes are just gonna go up to the Oregon coast and like get fat and hang out. Like this.
Yeah.
Hang out with
there's
some
no
bros.
Danger.
Yeah, it's just wild to see that. Like reading that little plaque saying it's like, oh, these are all dudes. All
animals
just
are
all
so. Out.
It is
funny,
like in this movie. So when the women are hunting. it's funny, like, because we do see seals and we see like some seal attack, and they're really going out of their way to try and make a seal look scary. Like, I think that their eyes are red in the film, but like seals are so dumb and cute looking.
They
like,
do look like, adorable, but I bet they're terrifying if you're a penguin.
Yeah. Which, oh,
we should say it's not like the penguins are slow in the water. They move like friggin' torpedoes.
Some would say they do fly just underwater. I think that some of the underwater.
Can you say that in French, actually?
No. I think some of the.
No.
No. I think some of the coolest stuff is the underwater shots. Yeah. Like some of these underwater shots are crazy cool looking.
Yeah.
Well, and it said that. What did he say? Like that they can dive to like 1,700 meters or something like that?
They can hold their breath for over 15 minutes. and dive to a depth of 1,700 feet, approaching the seafloor itself to feed on fish, krill, and squid.
Tom Cruise watched this movie. He's like, I could beat that.
I love to the just the inherent, I don't know, the march of Tom. The beauty, but also comedy of like a big group of penguins and they're all like waddling together. Like it can look so funny when they're like flapping their little useless wings.
It's really funny when those babies are waddling around.
Oh my God.
With the
some of those babies are just.
The babies are so funny.
Units. Anyway, if you're lucky, your egg turns into a little tiny little baby penguin that's all fuzzy and gray and so fucking cute.
Yeah, and it's such a wild image to see like the males like kind of like leaning back a little bit and you see like the head of the baby pop
yeah.
out.
Well,
like,
by then, by then that would be the females because the men.
Oh, they would have transferred
they
back.
They trade
so
off.
So the males, they only, it's not really like the roles are reversed or anything like that. It's basically just the males keep the egg. But when the egg hatches, that's about at the, if everything goes according to plan, that's time to be when the women come back.
So
then they switch off. So the males from that point on, they kind of do just like fuck off. Like they go off and they just get food one time and then they bail totally.
No, not really. They said they do the switch off like a few more times.
Oh, and they'll hang out
while the
yeah.
chicks are still young. True. And then it's like, well, chicks are big enough. We're all just all the parents are going to fuck
off. One thing we didn't mention, like, because there's a huge because like the big. Most of the bulk of this movie is like the males holding the eggs while like the elements are just battling them. It's dark. It's crazy. Like, you know, chicks are dying left or eggs are dying yeah. or, you know.
That is not the bulk of this movie. I gotta say. That,
well, I was surprised by how much of it was that. But anyway, one thing we didn't mention that the movie references, there's a moment where it's like, and this happens maybe a day or so before they're expecting the females back or the women. There's like an emergency reserve of like.
Oh, yeah.
Goop that, yeah. that the males will
nutritional
like, you know,
goop. It's basically like they have a fold in their throat where they can store yeah. food. So it's basically like there's some herring has been fermenting in his throat. For
yeah,
like
his throat pocket for the baby right
he
before.
There's a little bit of food, just you know, but they specifically say like they do this like a day or so before they're expecting their mates to come back, like a last minute. Yeah. thing like hopefully this will be enough
yeah. The timing on all this
that
is
was
crazy because like not to you know insult the penguins but they're like you know we got to keep in mind they're profoundly dumb like they like they're
dumb?
so much of this is like instinct it has to be it like they're not thinking yeah. of it in it's like
well,
what is going on in their brain
not in the same
is,
way a human brain would think
no.
of it but it's that doesn't mean they're dumb
well it, what I mean by that though I'm insulting them to say it's so impressive what they're doing it's like it's incredible
well, it's like
that this is yeah but it's just incredible that all of this is built in and that it times out in the way it does
yeah well and I guess that yeah. they do make the point of saying that it's like you know, there are the statistical outliers of, like, you know, eggs that don't survive or males or females that go to fish and are unsuccessful or killed by a seal or blah, 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 or didn't link up. And, you know, not everything survives, but
when
it is,
when the seal
like,
takes the life of that penguin, he's taking
two lives.
two lives.
But the fact that so many do, yeah, survive successfully... Do that. It's nuts.
It's wild. Given the elements.
Given all of that. It's so much work.
And then they'll do it again next year.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing that's kind of interesting, they don't get into this a lot, but at the end of the movie as the newborn penguins jump into the water for the first time, they say that they're gonna be out there for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
in the ocean
before
coming back and doing this journey themselves.
They're gonna be part, you know, they got to go on Rumspringa, you know.
Yeah, well, they got to be young people for a little while, and then they can start.
Got to see them penguin titties, right, Ryan?
For 4 years, the chicks will live at sea. But as the sunlight begins to disappear at the end of their fifth year, and the warm days begin to cool, they too will climb out of the water. And they will march, just as they have done for centuries, ever since the Emperor Penguin decided to stay, to live, and love, in the harshest place on Earth.
You can't just have a kid right away. You know, you got to live a life.
You're like, what? I'm just a baby. I got to
get a 401k.
Got to see the world a little bit.
Dance and stuff, you know?
Yeah, got to learn to dance. Got to see...
get a nose ring. I don't know.
See the zoo.
Yeah, go to the zoo.
Did they say what the average lifespan of an emperor penguin is?
No, I don't. I don't know. Let's find out.
I'm going to guess like 12.
Okay.
I'm going to say 10.
Emperor penguin.
I'm going to say 10.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Ryan says 12.
I say 10.
I say 100.
So emperor penguins typically live 15 to 20 years in the wild, wow. though some individuals may live up to 40 or even 50 years.
Wow. We got a couple of middle-aged penguins.
And apparently chick mortality is very high. Yeah. Only about 20% survive the first year.
I mean, that tracks. It's a harsh environment to be a baby.
That's not that much different than humans used to be.
Yeah,
so
if
the penguin started like, you know, had like medicine, then you think they'd be all right? Like if they had like
or shelter
in captivity, penguins can live 20 to 34 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if they had a lack of predators, medicine, and like intelligence, I think they could probably get those survival rates.
And again, shelter.
aside from starvation, obviously, and seals, can you guys guess what the other key threat to emperor penguins is?
It's our buddy Orca.
Oh,
Willie, man, he stabbed us in the back.
You love eating penguins, don't you, Willie? You
it's,
sick
it's all
fuck.
Nature. It's all nature. You know?
I know. Willie is not evil because he eats a penguin, nor is the penguin evil for being eaten by Willie.
Yeah. Oh, that's
he's not evil for being eaten by something.
You know.
So,
well, any closing thoughts on March of the Penguins?
Well, those are my closing thoughts.
I wasn't making a penguin noise in the beginning. I might have been doing orca. Yeah, I don't know.
You just start doing dolphin noises just to fuck.
We didn't talk about how this ends, you know.
Well, there are chicks, Springer. And they're really cute.
Well, so
and
all the chickens are being, or the chickens.
All the women.
All the women and chickens.
Those cold chickens.
So they're going back and forth, you know, basically dumping food in these little
doing
babies'
that,
mouths.
The gross bird thing.
And eventually they just bail.
Yeah. I like how it's put there, like they end their contract basically of like, well, it was nice being a family.
Well, they just
bye-bye.
Know. They just know it's like they can survive on their
they're
own.
Like,
now.
Well,
we can go
I've
now.
Done all I can do for you. Bye.
All right, bye. Mm-hmm. See you probably never.
That's nature.
And they time it in a way where it's like the summer and it's so This is one of those things where I'm like, how do they do this? It's crazy. So they've had to have found the spot they have found had to have been good in the first place, their original base camp. But if it all goes according to plan, the idea is that by the time they bail and leave the chicks, it is warm enough that...
And enough ice has melted.
Enough ice has melted that they're basically now right by the ocean.
Yeah.
So the chicks are just kind of like... They're alone, but they're okay. You know, they're alone.
They're
but
old enough, and
they're just like
it
looking
out.
Around, and the water's just right there.
They're like,
so
oh, let's try swimming.
Instinct
well,
makes them curious.
I mean,
to jump in.
In theory, the water is always under them the whole
yes.
time.
Kind yeah.
of. It's just like yeah. they pick that spot because there's a lot of space between. You know,
no, that's what I'm saying, right? I'm saying it's like impressive that they're able to like okay by summer.
Yeah,
the water will
be
about here. You know, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah,
like to guess that to like you could imagine getting that wrong where like it's summer and there's water
it's too
nowhere.
Far away. Yeah,
like we our chicks are miles from land.
You know, I would be interested to see. So this was 2005. I'd be interested to see what their journey is like now, decades later, with you know global warming.
Well, I'd like to tell you there's many options. I have them all pulled up here.
Oh no.
Oh, Ryan was ready.
We got
a sequel of The Death
so we
of
do
the
have
Penguins.
A sequel. March of the Penguins 2, The Next Step, came out in 2017. Same director. Okay. You got friggin' Morgan Freeman back. Unfortunately, this was a straight-to-Hulu movie.
Oh, so it doesn't exist.
This is what we're at today. We also got Penguins. Disney Nature's Penguins.
Penguins.
Played in IMAX theater. Narrated by Ed Helms.
Ed Helms.
Yeah.
That is so strange.
This one has they named the penguins. It has the
I don't like
it has killer whales and stuff. And that one was in theater. That one was in theaters. That was in 2019. Then we also have produced by our our Lord and Savior JC himself, James Cameron. Oh. We have Secrets of the Penguins.
Secrets.
And this one is like its whole thing is like 20 years after March of the Penguins, and it's like this one is also it's National Geographic, but that's also Disney, so it's just like
that's true.
This one is too? National Geographic?
This was like maybe co-made with National Geographic. Okay.
Well, I think that was before they were.
Yeah, that would have been before Disney acquired it, I believe.
But this one's actually a three-part series. You can watch it on old D+. If we had to guess who narrates this one, I don't think anybody would. I'm trying to figure out a good way to give a hint, but I can't even think.
Well, how about this? Is it a woman?
It's a woman. It's a woman. You got it right. That's it's woke. So there you go.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know.
Is it like Helen Mirren or something?
No, go. It's a lot younger.
Uh oh.
I'm gonna say I know she narrated another one, but Kate Blanchett.
Younger than that.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I want to say there's no way you'll guess.
Sydney Sweeney.
Millie Bobby Brown.
I'd say that's the closest you can get. That's
no.
close.
Is it? Wait. Who's the one from the whale that we, the Stranger Things?
Oh, Sadie Sink.
Sadie Sink.
No, this
Charlie XCX.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
That'd be great. Dave, shut up.
That'd be great. No, this is Blake Lively.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Why not?
Sure.
So that's the last. I mean, as far as I can see of high scale penguins things, I don't know what else they're telling you these things. But this the one with the Secrets of the Penguins. It's state of the art technology and unparalleled access to.
I hope
to
the Secrets penguins. Of the Penguins. It is like they the dark. Can, they can talk. Twisted. They speak. They have a civilization.
You know, one thing I was kind of hoping to see. I was kind of, and they could definitely do this now. I was hoping they would have like a heat camo where you could see the amount of heat being generated.
Oh,
by
yeah.
Huge,
that would be interesting.
Massive penguins, you know?
I bet in one of these documentaries, there is a heat cam.
I bet they do that. I would assume so.
Yeah, they got drones and shit now and things.
Yeah, you know.
Little cameras are little. And they
cameras are little.
So.
Can I talk about something kind of random with this movie? It's something I want to get in, and mostly because the quote from the director of this, Luc Jacquet, is like, it's his response is so
French. I wanted
French.
The penguins to be smoking cigarettes.
So there was, and I do kind of remember this, there was a lot of like political stuff going on at the time about, basically like right-wing people were like, see, this is why you need a man and a woman.
What?
Yeah, because gay marriage was a big thing around this
sure.
time, right?
And they were like, these penguins are proof that human gay marriage is wrong.
And they were also big, like, and this is why monogamy is important. You know, this is basically like
God.
A lesson. So anyway, so
right-wing people are so fucking stupid.
In response to that, the director said this quote, which I just wonder, it's a little long, but I want to read it because it's so good. And it is so.
You should have seen all of the male penguins having sex.
The male penguins are extremely common and fuck you.
So as a metaphor for family values, the devotion to a mate, devotion to offspring, monogamy, self-denial, I condemn this position. I find it intellectually dishonest to impose this viewpoint on something that's part of nature. It's amusing, but if you take the monogamy argument from one season to the next, the divorce rate, if you will, is between 80 to 90%. The monogamy only lasts for the duration of one reproductive cycle. You have to let penguins be penguins and humans be humans.
Absolutely.
Give that man a cigarette. Hey.
Yes.
Give this man a cigarette.
Let penguins be penguins. I'm not talking about human gay marriage, you fucking idiots. I'm talking about penguins. Ugh.
Do you think like that was running through their mind as they were freezing their asses off filming this for that year? Like, I wonder how people will receive this
movie. I hope that people understand that we are pro heterosexuality.
Yeah, some chud in Kansas running an AM radio station is going to talk about how this is why gay marriage should be illegal in America. Yeah.
Two men can't do this.
All right, this is thank you for attending church. We will be having our March of the Penguins viewing next week. You can get on the church buses to see it in support of no woke, anti-homosexual agenda.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, God hates penguins.
That's why this movie was such a success. All the church groups organizing viewings.
I guess so. I mean, not to that point. Like I said, I'm pretty sure
March of the Penguins, not March of the Gay Winds.
That's really, really good. But like I said, I'm pretty sure I saw this on like a school field trip. So I'm sure there were tons of like schools and churches, maybe not for pro or anti-gay marriage stances, but definitely of like, yeah, let's take the kids to go see the penguin thing. That's yeah. And then
I wonder how these people felt years later when the penguin it was discovered that yeah, penguins have same sex relationships
so,
too.
So many animals engage in same sex stuff all over the place. Because
well, I mean,
why
I think
not?
That's kind of what the director was kind of getting at too. I also,
this is nature. This stuff happens all the time.
You know, I was kind of championing that this movie's ultimately uplifting or whatever, but it does have devastating moments. And there is like one moment I wanted to shout out is like one of the saddest things I may have, I've seen in a while. I think the, and maybe we could all see like what our saddest moment was here.
Oh,
too.
Okay.
But it's got to be, and this is, I think, what set Jackie off the most is what. So when you lose the egg, that's pretty rough. But there's a part where there's a storm, and some of the chicks die, and there's a dead chick, and that's pretty sad, right? Just seeing the dead chick, but then seeing the penguin's reaction, like the mom or the dad, I don't know which one.
I think it's the mom
goes to see him and is like, clearly in distress, like it's like wailing and like keeps nudging it, and that's like obviously dead.
I was crying.
It's heartbreaking. Like that is one of the because you don't know what's going on in their dumb penguin brains. But
stop calling them dumb.
you said they're dumb. It's not dark.
I don't know what's going on in their smart penguin brains, but
it doesn't. It's not that they're stupid or smart. They're just animals.
You can tell they feel.
Listen to what he just said with your guy, your Pierre Escargot just talked about. You know,
right? You're right.
Maybe what we don't know. Maybe there's like.
But they
something
feel.
In
they clearly are feeling emotions. Like
Mike, maybe has like a tragic backstory where like a penguin killed his brother or something. I don't know.
His only child.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Says
this was
deep-seated
a
hatred of penguins.
This was a happy movie, Dave. All those penguins dying. It was great.
No, it. Like it, this,
no,
God,
that moment was devastating.
It broke my heart. This was the same. And when we, I wasn't on the episode, but I did watch Free Willy. And every time there would be just like a mournful, like wail noise trying to, or like, penguin noise of like, wake up. Like that's how I know I'm turning into my mother of just like, oh, how can, oh, it's too sad. Why would you make me watch that?
I agree. That was the saddest moment. It replaced what was previously my saddest moment was the shot of the lone penguin who doesn't get a mate.
Just walking off.
Just walks off into the sun. It's like, well, I'm just going to go on the long walk.
Guess I'll go kill myself.
Yeah.
By May, the light will nearly have disappeared from the sky and the temperature continues to drop. And for those who began their march too late or have fallen behind because of weakness or hunger, hope of survival is now remote. The lone penguin has no chance against the winter's cold. He will simply fade away, absorbed by the great whiteness all around him.
They just kind of disappear into the nothing.
Well, I think you're conflating two things. So there's some penguins get lost, and those are the ones that are dying.
Oh.
Some of the penguins that don't find mates, or if their egg breaks or whatever, from what I recall, it's just they just leave. They just go back to the ocean. Like I don't think they're necessarily like dying if they like lose the chick or if they don't find a mate. They just are like, well, this
well,
was
they
a bust.
Just sort of disappeared.
I'll be here next year. Like, yeah. I don't think they're lost. I think they just go back to the ocean.
Although it is probably a lot harder to survive in winter without like a big group to huddle with.
I mean, you're more prone to seal attacks or whatever. And
you know,
all that
safety
stuff. And
in
you
numbers.
Might get lost. You might get lost on your way back. And
well, that's the thing. Like, they don't. Which I don't think they get into. Were there any people who were there any penguins who weren't able to mate up that tried to still get in on the huddle? Like, get the fuck out of here!
Well, yeah, me.
They had that one trying to steal the another chick. Do you remember that?
Well, no, but the suggestion was that they had an egg. It died, so they were trying to steal another egg. I'm saying, were there any penguins who never made it up to begin with, who still kind of took the march to the
probably.
Area? It's like, No, I got a bait.
You know,
I got a bait.
She's in there. Don't worry about it.
Don't even worry about it.
When the storm is hitting, I think all the penguins are just like, yeah, everyone get closer. The more the merrier, the any kind of warmth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's tons of stuff like that going on. Like, it's not, it can't be like a super well-enforced, you know, they're animals.
Hey, where's
like
your mate?
We don't know
where's
how they
egg?
Communicate, Michael.
Yeah, that was a good film.
Well, what about you, Ryan? What made you cry? What hit you the hardest?
I mean, it's just a mix. I think it was just more of like the kind of slow, just sort of meditative stuff that was the best stuff for me. Just kind of like just a lot of like music and real, and it just made me stoked that like this movie could be that and just kind of like sit on silence and music and let you kind of take it in, and that's why. I'm going to say it works for a stoned audience, I would say.
Did you ever watch the parody by Bob Saget called The Farce of the Penguins?
I was thinking about that.
I was like, what is that movie? I vaguely remember that.
This is how you know how big this movie was. It got a whole parody version of
the
movie.
Remember that, I remember us having that at Hollywood Video. I remember that. Yeah,
this
Samuel Jackson.
Farce of the Penguins seems like the one you watched stoned.
Samuel L. Jackson was in that.
How is it awful or is it funny?
I don't remember. I mean, maybe it was funny
The poster
19.
Of it looks like the worst thing I've ever seen in the world. It's penguins in BDSM gear.
Oh, okay.
What happens in Antarctica?
I don't think that's in the movie at all. I think it's literally like this movie, but with like voice. It's the French voiceover version, but with just like American comedians. Like, yeah.
It's like what if this was a sex comedy?
Yeah, so
penguins?
Like Bob Saget's one, Tracy Morgan, Christina Applegate, Jamie Kennedy. Lewis Black, Whoopi Goldberg, Tracy Morgan.
Sure.
Dane Cook's in there. Jason Alexander, Jason Norm Biggs.
McDonald.
Brie Larson.
She must have been like a kid.
She's probably voicing one of the baby penguins.
Oh, look, we got Jodie Sweetin saying this is, he's so gross, penguin. You know?
Gilbert Godfrey as I'm freezing my nuts off, penguin.
That sounds really, really funny.
Wow, it got Scott, he's uncredited, but Scott Wigner, I don't know how to say his last name, that was...
Weiger?
It might be Weiger, I don't know, he's, what's his name on Steve in Full House, but he's also Aladdin, you know, he's a... So he's in there uncredited.
Okay.
You know, he's been the voice of Aladdin, it's what he's been living on his whole life, basically.
Yeah, why not?
What a gig. That's the best thing you can possibly get is be like a teenager. You play Aladdin and then your voice stays that way for the rest of your life. And you're just going to be Aladdin in like every Kingdom Hearts game. Anyway.
And there's a lot of them.
I just want to apologize for my misrepresentation of the voices of the penguins.
Apology heard, but not accepted.
Well, I, you know what? I'm glad you brought it up, Ryan, because you know, like we said, the events are non-fictional, but our human narrative trappings are, you know,
we place. Yeah, we place our feelings on these. That's why, and I think that's what it is that this movie is doing a lot of the time. And
very
that's what it's good for. This movie could do that. And,
yeah.
Because they are so human just in their movements, you know? And
yeah.
And you never see like animals like embracing each other. Like they're just like, they look like they're fucking in love.
In love, exactly. Yeah. And the babies are so.
But they are
so
goddamn
cute.
Stupid, though, too, you know?
You guys suck. I love them. I know. Just because our brains are different doesn't mean.
I love them. I love these little penguins. No, don't
yeah,
don't get
I mean,
it twisted.
We're getting into recommendations. This is an easy recommend for me.
Yeah, but
it's
do
huge
be prepared
and
to
it's
shed
also,
tears.
It's so short too. Yeah. It's like an hour 20
hour
with 20 credits.
Change.
Yeah, like it's basically an hour long. And it's awesome. Yeah. I think it's anyone should watch it. Like this would honestly and. Like, I think this is one of the best nature documentaries like out there.
I think it's the most successful, if not one of the most successful ever.
I like that it's such a simple, self-contained story, and it's cool. Like it's not just like
hey, let's have a documentary about penguins, and here's penguin facts. Like, the fact that it's able to construct it in a sort of narrative, and it makes
and
a story
and be so
out
emotionally
this,
engaging.
This thing they do. Yeah, I think that it's...
It's listed as number 4. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
What are the other ones?
I'm assuming Avatar, The Way of Water is number 1 documentary.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's that's number... somehow that's like number 9.
Is Idiocracy up there?
That's not, no, that's not in there.
Blair Witch Project, is that number 1?
The Blair Witch Project, yeah, it's number 1 here. except they, it's, for some reason, it's called Michael Jackson's This Is It. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's stupid. That's a stupid joke. There's some, from one from 84 that was a IMAX, like one of the first IMAX ones, is a Grand Canyon one, which I'm interested in watching.
Oh, yeah.
It's from 84, though.
Speaking
and it was
of
the
getting
highest...
stoned and...
Yeah, and then that, they're all kind of close. Those are all around 200 million. And then Fahrenheit 9/11 is number 3.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sure.
Yeah, that was a big hit. Yeah.
And then it kind of is a steep drop-off after March of the Penguins, really.
Yeah.
It's all basically IMAX documentaries and such.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, people are staying home and watching BBC Earth
at
that point.
Yeah,
well,
it's a bummer.
I was saying nature documentaries, not just documentaries. Fahrenheit 9/11, I would not call a nature documentary.
Except about the nature of humans.
Well, I guess it's the Grand Canyon one is the, and the Michael Jackson are the two other.
Yeah,
the,
I would call the Michael Jackson one a nature documentary, yeah.
Well, it's appropriate that that gay panic came up in this episode, because when March of the Penguins and other bird-related films returns, we will be watching the 1996 comedy, The Birdcage. Or, Michael, as the French would put it, La Cage à Folle.
That was
this
flawless.
Is from the 90s? The Birdcage?
1996.
Damn.
You know, I was trying to find...
I thought this came out last year.
I mean, as people point out every summer of just like, once the temperature hits whatever degrees, I'm dressing like Robin Williams in The Birdcage, baby.
You know, I was looking for what rhymes with penguin for this month, but there's no perfect
nothing.
Rhymes for penguin.
Nope. They're such unique
Sanguine.
Creatures. Sanguine.
Mm. Well, what else is there left to say but...
Sometimes the elements get the best of them. The older penguins know that it's just a matter of time before they call out,
I'm freezing my nuts off!
Damn, the cold is making everybody crankier.
You have no idea what I'm going through. You're in a warm recording studio in LA getting paid tons of money.
Not enough.
I'm sure it's a respectable amount.
Not enough.
I don't give a shit, 'cause I'm freezing my nuts off!